Today's share in Mishnah Berurah is Daf Samach Omud Aleph. And we begin with Siman Lamed Hey, which is a very short Siman, and only one Sif in it. And the Mechaber starts off and tells us how to actually write the Parashios in terms of what goes on what line. And he brings down, this is the Mishnah, Halacha Berurah brings this down, this is Meirav, Mipirav, Mipirav. Nohagu b'minyan hashitin lichtov b'shal yad shiva shitin, b'chol parsha. U'b'shal rosh arbo shitin v'imshina lo posal. That's the entire siman, one of the shortest simanim in all the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mechaber tells us here, as we said, Ish mi piish, this is a Kabbalah all the way back from Har Sinai, that the way to write the parashios on the tefillin is the tefillah shel yad, which is made up of one cloth, as we've mentioned many, many times. So you take a cloth and you have four sections to it for the four paragraphs of the tefillin that you put in there, the Kadesh v'hoyev yachor, Kadesh shma v'hoyim shemoa, and you write each paragraph on seven lines. And the Halacha Berurah goes and tells us exactly what words you put at the beginning and end of each line, so it's well balanced out, it will be beautiful. Zekei Levian Veyu applies to beautifying the parchment with the parashios on it. So the minhag is that the shel yad, each parsha, whole parsha, parsha, on the shel yad should have seven lines. The shel rosh, which is written each parsha on a separate piece of paper, a separate parchment, so the shel rosh is only written each parsha on four lines. Shitin is a shura, is a line. However, the Mechaber tells us, Vimshina, if you change this, if you didn't follow this, it's not a halacha l'moshe b'sinai that it must be done this way. Came down from Har Sinai, but it's not a halacha l'moshe b'sinai in terms of this is the absolute practice, and therefore, if you did change it, it is not possible as long as it still has all the required characteristics. The parashios are written properly, even if they're not written exactly the way that they were originally supposed to be written. That's the entire halacha. Now we'll look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah tells us in Sifkat and Aleph, this is based al pi hakabbalah b'yad sofrim, ish mi pi ish. The language of the Torah, brought down before, the Halacha Berurah says the same language. This is the Kabbalah that we have, and many of our traditions go all the way back to Har Sinai. We actually have the Rambam listing all the generations from the time of Har Sinai up to the time of the Rambam, and you have people that have then gone and listed all the generations from the time of the Rambam until the present day. So we have literally person-to-person transmission of a holy Mesorah for years and years and decades and millennia of years, centuries. And therefore, this is very, very important that we stick to our Mesorah, because our Mesorah isn't something that somebody made up one day and decided, yeah, I was revealed this. Our Mesorah was revealed in a very public fashion on Har Sinai, and this Mesorah has been transmitted faithfully throughout thousands of years, and that's why we're so careful not to change even one iota of our Mesorah. Famed words of the Chasam Sofer, Ein Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh, a paraphrase on the famous Pasuk, that we're not so quick to add new things. We keep the old traditions. We're very, very slow to make any changes. If we do make a change, it has to obviously have the Haskama of the Gedolim and have to be appropriate. So this is a very important Mishnah Berurah. It doesn't sound like it's telling us a lot, but it's Al Pi HaKabbalah B'yad Sofrim Ish Mi Pi Ish. In Sifkot and Beis, the Mishnah Berurah writes, we have the number of the rows. The Kein Yesh Kabbalah B'yodim, the same Kabbalah that we had over here, B'inyan Haskolas Rosh Yeshurus B'shol Yad B'shol Rosh, as to what word begins each of these seven lines in the Shol Yad, or the four lines in the Shol Rosh in the different Parsha. So this is also a Kabbalah, as brought down in the Torah in the Beis Yosef. The Sofrim Kayom, Ein Medaktikin. Nowadays, the Sofrim aren't so careful. B'tchilas Rosh Yeshurus. They're not so careful to start with the words that are brought down by tradition, to have each word start with each line of each paragraph start with certain words. U'mishanim kasha yizdamin lehem. And it's based upon their writing and the beauty of their writing, so they'll have a line start with a different word than what is classically taught is the right way to do this. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, V'harotza l'daktik, if somebody wants to be careful to do it right, lo yimshoch osios o yekatzer harbe kidei l'chavin roshi ashitos. If you want to do it right, you should try to follow along with the way Chazal have set up over the years for it to start and end with certain words, and therefore make sure that you practice and know how to make the right number of words on a line so you'll begin and end at exactly the right places. Ki ein noy l'tfilin, otherwise it's not beautiful for the tfilin if they don't all have the same start and end. You want to have it aligned on both sides, like we have on an email that you send, or a word processing, when you have left alignment, right alignment, or it's middle alignment, or it's aligned on both the left and the right. So the tefillin should be aligned on both the left and the right. They should start, all the lines should start at the same place, and all the lines should end at the same place, which is not easy to do if you don't have a computer doing it. If you have a person doing it, you have to plan out where each word is going to be, and that's why we have this set tradition as to how to do it in order to properly balance all the lines. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us, don't stretch out letters or shorten letters in order to fit them into the line, because then it doesn't look so nice. However, avu ma'at rashoi. If you have to do it a little bit, nobody can be perfect. So therefore, if you have to stretch a letter a little bit, then it's permissible. In Dirshu footnotes 1 and 2, he addresses this a little bit further. In Dirshu footnote 1, he writes, Mikom makom, Kosav HaKesis HaSofer, the famous sefer on Safrus, Sheishli Hizarim Ma'od Lasos HaSashur Shavos. Make sure that you make the lines, however you're doing it, even if you don't follow exactly along with the start and end words that are passed down by tradition, you have to make sure that the start and ends of all the lines are the same. Shlot Achas Nechnesis V'Achas Yotzis. They shouldn't be misaligned. And even to have one letter go a little bit beyond the line, that's not right. Because of Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, this doesn't fulfill the beautification idea that we've spoken about previously. In Dirshu footnote 2, he brings down also from the Kesis HaSelfer, Shetzorich ledaktik shalosh tishtanet tzuros os bekach. When you're stretching or shortening a letter, make sure that it still looks like that letter and halachically it qualifies as that letter. At the end of Simon Lamed Vav, we'll have a discussion about Safras. We'll see exactly how deep we go into it. He brings down the Mishnah Berurah that we learned previously in Simon Lamed Beis, where he said certain letters are able to be stretched more easily, like the Beis and the Dalid, the Reish, because those top bars, the lines in them, there is no set amount that they have to be. So if you have a Dalid, so the horizontal gag, the roof of the Dalid, if it goes 3 millimeters or 4 millimeters or 5 millimeters, it's not much of a difference. So that's a good letter to, quote, fill in a little bit of an extra space or to shorten a space when you're a little bit tight. In Sifkot and Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Mechaber told us if you didn't do it the way the tradition has it, it doesn't make it possible. This is true, he says, Bein b'shal yad, bein b'shal rosh. This is true both by the shal yad or the shal rosh. And in Dirshu footnote number 3, he brings down a raya from the rosh, who says, the Gemara in Menachos tells us, Shemi she'ein lo tefillin shal yad, if the person doesn't have a tefillin shal yad, and he has two tefillin of the rosh, we had said previously, you can wrap some sort of an or around it so it doesn't look like it's four compartments, and then you can put it into the place where you would normally place the shal yad, on your biceps. And therefore you see that the minion of the shittim, which is by definition 4 for the shal rosh, which is supposed to be 7 for the shal yad, nobody mentioned that that is a problem. So therefore, once you've made the external appearance of the batim okay, so then you can use the tefillah shal rosh for the shal yad. Obviously the shittim aren't ma'akev. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he says, Vim ein lo shal yad, rak chlaf kotzor. If for the shoyad, which we said, you have to have, ideally in the shoyad, 4 paragraphs, each with 7 lines in each paragraph, and you have a klaf that isn't the right size to do that, and you won't have room to write 7 rows because the length of the klaf is not long enough. Unless, in lo sheyichtov ksiva dakamot, until you write very, very small or very, very thin letters, which isn't good, near the tov yosel l'shanos minyan hashitim, in that situation, don't stick to the prescribed number of lines, the 7 for the shel yad and the 4 for the shel rosh. Instead, he tells us, "Ayin b'mordechai b'hilchus ketanos sof hilchus tefillin," where he brings down over there the bichlal zeh keli v'anveyu lichtov kisiva gasu b'miktsas. It's nicer to write big letters, and it's preferable to have big, nice letters that aren't any going to be questionable whether they are rubbed out or not, anyway, not kosher, even though you don't have the right number of shitos of shuros shloyu nimchokim mehera, because the large letters won't be easily erased, and this way the number of shitin that you have is less important. Ubiemis on Uroim, Bechush, we actually see practically the Bixivo Sadakos, when people write these very small thin letters, Shirigilin Aza Sofrim, like some Sofrim unfortunately do, Ba'ava no Seinu Harabim, Matsui Kamba Vakamba Kilkulim. You therefore have lots of problems that result. Gambitrilas Ksivosa, not only at the end, but even at the beginning. Because they're not written properly, you're taking advantage of Bidi Evids even at the very beginning, before the tefillin even had a chance to be worn out. As a result, you may not be able to write because they're so small, the proper tagin, the little curlicues, the little attachments on the top of the letters, the shatnes gates, the letters shin, ayin, tes, nun, zayin, gimel, tzadi, sofis, the midina de gemara, that these are requirements that the gemara talks about. So one should use larger size letters so you can properly form all the letters. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'yesh mehar rishonim shemachrim b'zafilu b'di'evid." There are rishonim that say that even b'di'evid. We'll learn about this also later on in Siman Lamed Vav. That this is no good if those are missing those tagin on the Shatnez Gates letters. And therefore, v'shomer nafsho lo yikneh parishos ka'ele b'soch tefilov. A person who's a yori shemayim, a person who's careful about the performance of mitzvos, wouldn't buy such tefillin that have such small parishos, such small letters. Im lo sheyivdok osam. If you have to, then you have to check them out very carefully. Mitchila. Heitev, very, very carefully from the very beginning. The Eda, because of a parshos, and as well you should know who wrote them. Because if it's a Erlicha, a well-known experience sofer, then there's a higher chance that they'll be kosher if they're very small. Because normally these very small parshos are written, he says, the parshos kelu motzi ma'od. It's very frequently that such parshos, because they're really not very good, are written adayim na'orim, are written by younger people, inexperienced sofrim, shlo yadu klal dinek siva stam, that really aren't experienced and knowledgeable in the proper way to write the Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, the stam. This concludes Simen Lamed Hei, and we begin Simen Lamed Vav. Simen Lamed Vav tells us about diktuk sivoson, the proper way that one should be careful in the writing of the letters. And at the end of this simen, we'll read inside for the Mishnah Berurah how he's going to have a whole separate kuntras called Mishnah Sofrim, and we'll talk about how we're going to do that in our Mishnah Berurah Yom Yishiyurim. So the Mechaber starts off and he says, Tzarech ledaktik b'chsivas ha'osios. The sofer has to be very careful in the writing of every single letter inside these parshos, as we've talked already many times. Shelo tishtane tzuras shum achas mehem. Not to change the appearance, the proper form of even one letter. Velo tigme, and it shouldn't appear to look la'acheres, like it's a different letter. The sofer has to be very knowledgeable and has to be very good at writing and being careful and preparing to make sure that he knows how to write this stam correctly. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Aleph writes, V'hu adin im nishtana os mitzurasar achar haksiva aydei nekev. Likewise, he has to be aware in case the appearance of a letter changes because of either a puncture, as we've discussed already previously, o kera, o tishtush, the puzzle, or some other occurrence, a rip, or some sort of a change in the tzura of the letter rubbed out in some way that would make it puzzle, as we've already learned to a certain extent in Simen Lamed Beis. In Sifkat and Beis, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Afilu im shinui hatsura hayorak b'miktsa sa'os. Even if part of the letter, not the whole letter, even if only part of the letter, for example, kigon shechoser harosh shela aleph, if the right head of the aleph, the yud that makes up the top part on the right side of the aleph, o kotz hayud, or a little bit of the extension of the yud, o shenogu yudei ha'aleph begag ha'aleph u'chadom, or the bottom part of the aleph somehow touches the gag, the slanted diagonal vav of the aleph. All of these, if they're not done carefully, they could passel the letter, as we have learned, and in Mitzvah Hashem we will learn. Va'afilu matinok yikreo lios, and we have spoken previously that if a young child is able to read the letter when we're in doubt, sometimes that's good. Lo mahani, that will not help over here. Because if we know that it's not written properly, the fact that a young child might be able to read it correctly doesn't make it written properly. If we know that the letter is not written properly, it's not good, even if a young child will read it correctly. The only time the young child helps, as we've spoken out previously, is when the letter is written properly, but now part of it is rubbed out. So the question is, does it still retain the shame of that letter? And then, under certain situations that we've discussed, a young child who's not too bright and not too ignorant will be able to be used to determine is that still the letter, whatever letter it was. In Sifkat and Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah writes, La'acheres, so you shouldn't mistakenly think one letter is another. He writes, Ra'isi b'sefer ma'aseh rokeach. He brings down from the Sefer Ma'aseh Rokeach, who brings down the Shehevi Ladina b'shem Chuvas the Maranach, and on the asterisk at the bottom it says that should be from the Ralbach. In any way, he writes, Shekosav da'afilu imrak miktsas ha'os nidma li'osacher posel. If even if only part of the letter is mistaken, going to look like another letter, then it's no good. In Dirshu footnote 2, he brings down an example of this. Kagon sh'osa tag godol b'kotzi agag shalos kuf. If you have on the kuf, you make it the top part too large, so it looks like that the tag on the top of it now makes it look almost like the letter lamed. Shaf al pi shav ofen kloli nira lakosh os kufu. Anybody would read this, they would say this is a kuf. Nevertheless, the Sefer Mishnah Sofrim writes, it's no good. Hipsula. Why? Mipnei shebitzad echot hidome lalamed. Because it looks like a lamed, enough so that it makes it change its appearance to now be called a lamed, and it's no good. And he adds, Vahosif, Shemitam Zeh, Kosef HaMaiser Rokeach. This is what Mishnah Berurah brings down, the Maiser Rokeach. Yesh laharchik esatag mehakotze kidesh lo tira oz kalamet. Don't put the little tag at the very end so it won't look like the letter lamet. If it comes off from the middle, then it won't be a problem because the lamet doesn't come off from the middle, it comes off from the end. So therefore, you have to be careful in the placement even of the tagim. The Mishnah Berurah, however, continues and says, from the Vilna Gaon and Medivrei HaGra'a, that we also learned previously in Simen Lamed Beis, Lo Mashmakein. He disagrees over here with this tshuva from the Marobach or Maranach, and that the Maaseh Rokeach brought down. And also, V'chein Kosav HaPrichadosh, that one doesn't have to be machmir like this. In Dirshu footnote number 3, he brings down others that weigh in on both sides of this as well. And again, this is a machlokas, so one certainly shouldn't lechatrila get involved in this machlokas. One should try to make sure that the letters don't appear, even in part, like any other letter. This will conclude today's shir.